the last word
with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.
Joining us for the Friday panel, we have Orla Ryan from the Irish Times and we freelance TV producer Paddy Duffy. Orla, if I can start with you. Maria Steen, we dealt with earlier in the week, her disappointment and her anger at failing to get a nomination to contest the presidential election. But for a lot of people, what caught their attention was the handbag that she carried to her press conference on Wednesday morning. Has anyone managed to establish the provenance and value of this particular handbag?
Well, I must admit, I was watching the press conference live and I was very ignorant and did not realise that the bright blue handbag was potentially an Hermes Kelly bag. But depending on who you listen to online, it costs anywhere from 15 grand to 40 grand.
What's a Hermes Kelly handbag?
It's a very expensive handbag. I'm sorry, I can't elaborate beyond that. Clearly, I don't own any Hermes Kelly's bag, but it was funny, everyone, like a few, I was meeting friends for dinner that night and a few people were like, did you see she had an Hermes Kelly bag? And I'm like, am I the only one who doesn't know? Well, now I know what an Hermes Kelly bag is.
And were they asking this question in admiration?
They weren't. I must say they were a little bit surprised at someone who was maybe saying, you know, she wanted to be the voice of the people and she had led this grassroots campaign and, you know, it was undemocratic to not back her and all of this kind of talk. They just found it maybe a little bit, because she was talking about people being, politicians being out of touch with the general public. So people were more so making the point, obviously she's entitled to spend her money on whatever she spends her money on, but kind of saying, talking about politicians being out of touch while holding a bag that is worth potentially a deposit on a house or a very nice car or whatever.
Hang on,
it might be.
It's not quite a deposit on a house yet.
If it's 40 grand it could be, but no, if it's closer to the 15 grand it's not, it's a car or whatever it might be. But people are making the point that she seemed a little bit out of touch herself while holding a very expensive handbag, unless it's a very good knockoff. We don't know for sure if it's definitely
and I will get to that in a second. But Paddy, is this a sort of a Celtic Tiger throwback, perhaps? That was the type of purchase that was fated 15 years ago before we had the crash.
It was, and maybe it's emblematic of the fact that Maria Steen's appeal lies somewhere in that era as well. I mean, I sort of feel like it's quite convenient in a way that a 20 grand bag does sort of hide the fact that she couldn't get to 20 Oireachtas members, because that really is the ball game here. She couldn't get to 20. That's what all this was about, and this was what she was reeling about. And so this is what I've been focusing on, really, is that I'm kind of astonished at how quickly the whole thing came up, sort of the lack of planning, you might say, or like you could say spontaneous, and it was a great spontaneous from the floor kind of attempt at the presidency. But I think it was just quite badly run, badly orchestrated. And I think there's also something really interesting about the fact that she was talking about this sort of this lack of groundswell of support, but like there are 234 members of the Oireachtas now, and they were only brought in the last year. So they are a fairly fresh representation of what the country thinks. So I sort of feel like if she had the groundswell that she was talking about for the presidency, then she would have got it. But she didn't. So she's not on the ballot.
Come back to the handbag. Right? Are people being nasty and envious? I mean, and also could it be, you know, that it doesn't mean she's out of touch with the people. For example, isn't there a billionaire in the White House, Donald Trump, who seems to be very much in touch with the ordinary person in the United States, despite his great wealth and his love of gold?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with, you know, having a bag of that, you know, of that expense. And in fact, actually, my favourite take of the whole thing was from my girlfriend, who I showed the picture to, and she goes, well, she had no choice but to buy the bag. It matched her scarf. So, you know, it's fine about it. But I think if you are making this point about the fact that, you know, the public have been denied something, and, you know, you are carrying, you know, draped over your shoulder is a big chunk of somebody's annual salary, then I think that is a bit of a disconnect. Assuming it's real. I mean, it could be a dupe, and there's some very good dupes out there.
Well, there are. I was actually in Istanbul recently, and we were actually wandering through the bazaars and the various, and they are stuffed with handbags, which are knockoffs. It's quite amusing when you negotiate a price. I mean, these are a fraction of the price that they would be. But they actually take cigarette lighters to the bags and start burning the leather to show the quality of the leather, that it doesn't burn, just how good these bags are, these knockoffs are.
Now, that would have been something that if Maria Steen had done that yesterday, said, got a lighter out. And that would have been quite the, you see, now if she'd done that when she had 18 people. Now, that might have been enough to put her over the edge, you know, that sort of show of. But also, I think that's quite an interesting thing as well, isn't it? Because, you know, there was a huge bit of momentum behind her. And Independent Ireland came in earlier than they said they would. They said, if you get to 16, we'll get you to 20. But they came in early on the hope that they would get the momentum from elsewhere. What I find really interesting is that she got to 18 votes on a great bit of momentum, and then it just stopped dead. You know, think if you got to 18, you get to 20. So I wonder, does that actually, rather than the idea of there being a groundswell for the kind of things that Maria Steen was offering,
well,
did people get to 18 and then think, oh, hold on a minute, do I want to be the one to tip her over the edge and maybe have a debate on stuff that we don't necessarily want to have a debate
on. Okay, listener says, she didn't get to 20 because she was blocked, not that she couldn't get there. Well, it was that she couldn't get there. There will be a huge protest at the vote by abstention or by spoiling the vote. Then another one says that Maria Steen is so in touch with the public, that's the problem. That's why she didn't get into the election, because the government was threatened. Another one says, it's not nastiness, it's just a disgusting show of wealth when people are homeless, struggling to feed families, struggling to even find work, and she's out there flaunting a 20k bag. Get out of here. Another listener says, typical Irish begrudgery. Orla, is there a sense or a feeling that there could be an orchestrated campaign now of deliberately spoiling the votes, that her name could be put on loads of ballots as a protest?
There could well be among a certain cohort of voters. I heard during the week that her supporters in some cases were sending hundreds of emails to TDs and senators who may be amenable to her or open to backing her and nominating her for the race. So, you know, she does have a strong support base. You know, we've seen her in recent years. You know, she was against marriage equality and the Eighth Amendment referendum, but she was on the no side last year in the care and family referendum. So she does have the backing of, you know, particularly people maybe who are from a Catholic background and have more conservative views on family and home life. But she also doesn't have the backing of an awful lot of other people. There was an interesting quote I was reading during the week, a piece from my colleague Harry McGee, and he was saying that he heard from somebody down in Leinster House who was saying it may actually backfire in a way on Catherine Connolly, because she could have potentially got some transfers from Maria Steen. They're two very different women with very different views, but they are both kind of anti-establishment
protest
votes. So that could be an interesting one to look at, whether or not, you know, there was this idea that perhaps Catherine Connolly might hand it to you know, a government backed candidate. She would have things to say otherwise, but it would have made for, I suppose, more interesting debates, if nothing else, if Maria Steen was there.
Okay, Niall in Galway says, typical Irish begrudgery. If Maria Steen had the right opinions, as in correct opinions, according to the government and the media on things, the handbag would never have been an issue. But we have another listener who suggests that her quote is worth investigating, that it looked like a Max Mara quote, which would cost at least $4,000 US, according to this particular listener.
If I didn't spot that the bag was an Hermes bag, I wasn't going to figure out what the coat was, sadly.
We should maybe have a look to see what the scarf is worth as well.
If we put a lighter to that as well, and we just see what does or doesn't.
But, you know, I do find it sort of really interesting how people are saying, oh, she was blocked and everything else, because, like, she really did, although it was not big enough to get on the ballot, it was quite a coalition of people. I mean, there were people that you might describe as fellow travellers. There were people that were kind of nearly there with her on a lot of the issues. And then there were just people that were there for the Socratic crack of it all. So she did get quite a few diverse groups of opinion, but just not enough.
Okay. Tell us about Keir Starmer's plans for so-called Brit cards.
Oh, Brit cards. It's just so stupid. Like, how it's so common.
What are they?
It's a Labour thing that they've been trying to get off the ground for, I'd say, the best part of 20 years or more now, where it is essentially a biometric ID card, or sort of an app, really, that it would be now, to verify that you have the right to live and work in the UK. And it's the pretext of it all is that it's down to sort of, you know, to crack tough on sort of migrant issues and about sort of defending the borders and everything. And you know, the only small problem with it all is everything, because migrants already have to jump through all these sorts of hoops. There's all sorts of biometric IDs that they've had to get over the years. A lot of them can be very expensive. The fact that it's called the Brit card, I think, really indicates something that is fundamentally wrong with the UK Labour Party, in that it is the sort of thing that the people that are inclined to vote for them will either abhor or will make them cringe to death. And the people that they're trying to appeal to hate their living guts anyway. So it's from either side, it's an absolute disaster. To say nothing of the fact, I mean, I can just see that this is a U-turn waiting to happen. And the tougher that I see Keir Starmer talk today, the more I can see.
Would you be worried about your own position, given that you live in Glasgow, don't you?
I do live in Glasgow, yeah. And I mean, I suppose I am fortunate in terms of sort of the fact that sort of Irish people have... a better shake of these things in Britain, sort of thanks to the, you know, the Republic of Ireland Act from 49, I think. So, you know, I'm luckier than most, but I am concerned. And this is why Michelle O'Neill has come out about this so strongly as well, because it does kind of drive a coach and horses through the Good Friday Agreement.
Orla Ryan, what have you to offer on this?
I mean, it does remind me of the public services card rare that we had here a few years ago. People might remember the famous quote from Regina Doherty, who was social protection minister at the time, who described them as mandatory but not compulsory. And then we all were Googling, what's the difference between mandatory and compulsory? And evidently, there's not a lot of difference. So there was a big pushback to that. You know, many people have PSCs in Ireland and they use them for various things. But the government at the time were trying to get people to get them if they wanted to apply for a driver's license, if they wanted to apply for medical benefits, dental benefits, things like that. And there was a big row over whether or not there was a GDPR breach in terms of essentially forcing people to have these cards if they didn't want them. Eventually, the government did roll back, and as I said, many people did go on to get them anyway for practical reasons, but it does remind me of that. And we've seen in the UK, you know, as Paddy mentioned there, Labour did try to bring it in about 20 years ago when they were last in power. There was a huge pushback and they dropped it, so they're arguing now 20 years on that, you know, much more of our life is online anyway, so it will help people in general. But other people are saying it's essentially they want to show that they're tough on illegal immigration, essentially. We had a poll yesterday in the UK saying that Nigel Farage is on track to become the next Prime Minister. There's only 5 reform TDs currently, but, you know, there is, speaking of groundswells of support, there's a groundswell of support for reform in the UK.
4 years to go yet before an election.
Unless it collapses prior to that.
And and this is the thing that I can't see this being anything but a big U-turn. So I think for the tougher that Keir Starmer talks now, the more embarrassing the downclimb is, because fundamentally, Labour don't have the courage of their own lack of conviction.
Well, is it not more likely...
Andy Burnham is coming through the, you know, the...
Yeah, but is it not more likely that the next Prime Minister will be in the lifetime of this Parliament, Andy Burnham, the Manchester Mayor?
Well, he is coming through quite... I mean, Labour, they're such a fascinating beast, because they have these kind of, you know, saviours in exile all the time, you know. It's like people have been saying, God, would it be great if David Miliband came back from, you know, from New York to do this. I think he is doing, he's very much regarded as doing a good job in, you know, as a mayor of Greater Manchester. But he's not in Parliament, so it's quite difficult for him to establish a
get
challenge.
Get a seat by the next by-election, I think. We need to take a break. We'll be back with more from Orla Ryan and Paddy Duffy in the week trending, including RTE dropping pennies as a sponsor of the Late Late Show and Donald Trump's difficulty with an escalator after this. Orla Ryan and Paddy Duffy with us. Orla, tell us, please, why RTE has dropped pennies as a sponsor of the Late Late Toy Show.
Yeah, so people might have seen the other night, RTE Investigates ran a programme that looked into fast fashion and a number of outlets who have stores here, including Penny's, Primark, it was Dunn's as well, Tesco and Marks and Spencer, who have links to 15 factories in Bangladesh. And some of these 15 factories also have connections to bigger factories in Xinjiang in China. People may remember that name. There's been various exposes over the years of the human rights violations and the treatment of the Uyghur people who live there. So essentially the programme was drawing a line between these factories in Bangladesh that do provide some clothes for these outlets that sell in Ireland and elsewhere to these Chinese factories. It all kind of came to a head today where they announced they were dropping the partnership because of this programme. But Primark did come out and they said, you know, look, yes, the programme did say there was a link, but they didn't provide categoric proof that we do actually get any of our clothes from this province in China. And they said they're against forced labour and that in general with their suppliers, they say you can't import cotton from the Xinjiang region for this reason because they do use forced labour. So either way, regardless of whether or not, you know, any of the cotton in these clothes have come from these particular factories, you know, RTE and Primark just decided it's not a good look so soon after the investigation coming out that the Late Late Show pyjamas would be provided by Primark. They said said, Primark said they were in the process of ordering these pyjamas when RTÉ Investigates came to them and put a number of claims to them. So they said it was probably best at this stage to take a step back and to not do the partnership this year. The partnership has been ongoing for 10 years. And just last year, $100,000 was put into the Toy Show appeal on the back of the sales of these pyjamas. So it's a sizable bit of money. And Primark did say that, you know, when all this blows over, maybe they can look at revisiting it next year. But for now, they've put a pause on it.
Okay, let's move on for that. If I was to give a thumbs up emoji on a message, Paddy, to an under 25, which would include my children, would they regard me as being passive aggressive? And if so, why?
So Orla and I were talking about this just as we went in. This is a fascinating wage issue, I guess, because people that see people of a certain age and see a thumbs up and I go, well, it's a thumbs up, but surely it's just a casual affirmative thing. What's the problem?
Absolutely, yeah. Agreement.
It has a whole other take for people that are sort of millennial age and younger.
How and why?
Well, because I think there is something that's really interesting that I think that has evolved linguistically with smartphones and everything is that enthusiasm is kind of inflated a little bit. So a thumbs up is quite plain. It's quite like, almost that is seen as sarcastic.
What about two thumbs up, so would that be better?
Two thumbs up is very sarcastic.
Oh, geez, I thought really that was double me. Enthusiasm.
So it's a fascinating thing, I think, because it's a similar thing of when you have emails, and I don't know if you've noticed this, but if you notice that if you're getting emails from younger people, that there's quite a few exclamation marks, maybe not every line, but like if you have an email that has no exclamation marks or just full stops, you go, oh God, they're so angry at me. They're absolutely fuming. So I think it's a similar thing with the thumbs up, where it is, I find that the most of the people that would give me a thumbs up emoji are about 10 or so years older than me. So I kind of take it on, you know what, I take it as saying, but if I got that from somebody younger, it's like, oh God, we're going to have a big conversation, aren't I? Have I done something wrong? And it's a fascinating wage issue, because you would never, if you didn't know, you would never know.
Oh, it's gone way over my head.
But if you do know, then it's like, oh God, I really feel this.
A friend was telling me before how there was a group chat and someone in the group chat asked whatever the question was, maybe plans for the weekend or arranging something. And as everybody replied, that the person who asked the initial question replied to everybody else with a love heart and to one person with a thumbs up, because they did not like that person's answer. But rather than say, no, I don't agree with that, they purposely went in and gave love hearts to everybody else and a thumbs up to that one person. Now, that's very clear. It's not subtle, but it is a way for some people of saying, oh, all right, fine, well, I don't agree with that.
Okay, can you explain to me, so, why it is that younger people don't seem to be able to send a WhatsApp message or a text message which has a number of sentences to make up a paragraph?
Because sentences are passive-aggressive, Matt.
Sorry, no, they send individual sentences, send, and then the next line comes, and then the next line. So you get five or six in a row, which you have to put together to make the entire message.
The Jack
Why
Kerouac
is that
style of just like, you know, letting the words flow?
I've ended up doing it now myself, and I feel like an idiot for doing it.
I think again, it just depends. I think language change and how we communicate change. So as Paddy was saying, like, you know, some people you have to put in exclamation marks, otherwise it's passive aggressive or you're angry. Sometimes if you send a large block pack, you know, paragraph text, that's, you know, so it's better to do maybe 10 individual short messages. So it depends who you ask, I suppose.
Okay, Donald Trump in his messages to the world via social media, particularly his own microsite, Trump Social, uses a lot of capital letters. But let me take it a different direction. His political career started coming down a golden escalator in Trump Towers. But why is it now that he had a problem with the escalator in the United Nations this week?
It's because he's been set up to look like a fool, according to the, you know, woke global UN. He posted yesterday, he goes, a real disgrace, capital letters, took place at the United Nations yesterday. Not one, not two, but three very sinister events. He sounds like a game show host all the time. It's like, you know, behind door number one was the fact that there was his teleprompter wouldn't work. Door number two was the fact that the escalator that he came down ceased to work as he was coming down it. And then the third is that there was a mystery audio issue in the auditorium.
This sounds like an episode of Veep.
This is what we're living through now. And I find like the mad thing about it was is that he was hammering away in around 2015-16 about the fact that Barack Obama couldn't do anything without a teleprompter. The man was useless without his teleprompter. And, you know, and he was like this, you know, great, he could come up with a great speech on the hoof. And now he's complaining about the teleprompter when he comes around. Like, I sort of feel like there's something really disturbing about the moment now, because there's so many, you know, bad faith, pernicious people in office, but I never expected them to be such clowns as well. I mean, it's like, this is really, it's real buffoonery to be, you know, to be the most powerful man in the world, and you're complaining about, you know, the office admin.
It does indicate that he's quite thin-skinned. People might remember his first address, or one of his first addresses to the UN back in his first term. He was a couple of years in and he addressed the UN and he spoke about how his administration had got done more than essentially any administration ever had, you know, had done. And the response from the crowd was actually laughter in the room.
Yeah.
And he took a pause and he said, well, I wasn't expecting that reaction, but okay. And he continued. So people were saying he was probably going in a little bit with his guard up of saying, these people are out to get me. But it was interesting when he did come out and say, yes, the escalator and the teleprompter, you know, were sabotaged. It was actually White House staffers who were, you know, using the prompter. It wasn't UN staffers. And then the UN said that the escalator was likely triggered a safety mechanism because someone who was filming Trump from the White House was walking up it backwards and triggered a safety valve, or whatever you want to call it, and so stopped it from moving.
Legitimate explanation. We're getting lots of messages with thumbs up and exclamation marks. One listener wants to know, can we find out why people now insist on talking on loudspeaker, especially on trains? Another one says, OMG, yes, Matt, one sentence messages, so annoying. But another listener says, sending the individual sentences makes it easier to quote back to a particular point without having to point out what you're responding to. That's an interesting point. Well, that's a good one. I like that. Another one says, LOL, my ex gives me a thumbs up after a long text message, read the kids. It annoys the effing hell out of me. It's rude and undermining. Okay. And here's one to finish. You can tell how old someone is who leaves a condolence on RIP.ie. Sorry to hear your dad died, exclamation mark, versus sorry to hear your dad died.
Was it David Cameron who thought briefly LOL meant lots of love as opposed to laughing out loud, and had to be corrected because he was adding LOL in places where it was not appropriate to add LOL?
He did indeed, yeah.
Thank you very much, both of you. Orla Ryan from the Irish Times and Paddy Duffy, freelance TV producer. Thank you for doing the week trending.
The last word with Life Pharmacy. Over 100 local pharmacies nationwide that are always here to help. Life Pharmacy. Live better together.